I want to read some scripture to you this morning taken from the third epistle of John. John's third and final epistle that he wrote. He wrote to just a lay member. He wrote to a man by the name of Gaius. He was just a church member who loved the truth and loved helping those who were proclaiming and protecting the truth. I pray that we always will proclaim and protect the truth. There was a commonality, there was a unity, there was a harmony between the Apostle John and this lay member, this average Joe, that was just a person who heard the gospel, got saved, all right, joined the church, and fell in love with the truth. He loved the truth. Now, he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't an evangelist. As far as we know, he wasn't a deacon. He wasn't a Sunday school teacher. He was simply a man that loved the truth. Every time I go on vacation, I typically will visit around to a variety of different churches I have through the years. And one of the things that always happens to me when I visit other places is I develop a new appreciation for the truth that we have. I'm amazed at how that people just with glassy eyes sit in these pews and listen to things that's just not right. I'm amazed at the things that's being proclaimed across the pulpits of this country, and people are believing a lie. I mean, I was amazed at even the things that I heard. I went to a Baptist church. The man was preaching about the second coming of the Lord. He was preaching about the elements of this world melting with fervent heat. And he said, you know, I think that might be an atomic bomb. I like to fell out of my seat. Now, people, I don't know if you know it or not, but that's messed up. Okay? I mean, you go to these different places and they're hermeneutics. Their exegesis, their process of interpreting the scriptures is wrong. I think sometimes they just make it up as they go. Listen, we don't have permission to do that. We must rightly divide the word of truth. It's not left up to our opinions. It's not left up to our feelings. It's left up to what God's word says about it. And so as I read this epistle, and as I come back to off vacation, I guess one of the things is that I'm hoping to establish is that you would have a greater appreciation for the truth that you hear at this place. Because it's not like this other places. It's just not. John the Apostle and Gaius were companions, fellow laborers, and workers in the truth. They had fellowship in the truth. Gaius was very instrumental in doing, listen to me, and the substance of this letter is basically praising Gaius because he was doing everything in his power to advance the truth. He was, I mean, when ministers were traveling to his town, he'd put them up. He'd take care of them. He would feed them. He'd give them money to go to another place and spread the truth. He was doing everything in his power to advance the truth. Are you a Gaius? Are you a Gaius this morning? Are you like him? Would Paul or John or one of the other apostles, would they have acknowledged you as a fellow laborer in the truth? I think we can do more than what we're doing to advance the truth. People, we need to be doing more than what we're doing to advance the truth. Don't you believe you have the truth? One of the problems, I suppose, that we have is that we don't understand how truth functions. We not only have a poor appreciation for the truth, and let me tell you something. All right, I want you to grab this. This is the aim, the thesis, the main point of the message. The less, and you write this in the margin of your Bible somewhere, and I hope you quote it when I'm dead and gone. The less we appreciate the truth, the less of the truth we'll have. Amen. You put that in the margin of your Bible. All right? The less you appreciate the truth, the less your generation and your children's generation and your grandchildren's generation, the less of it they will have. And people, there are generations that have been have believed a lie. They've been given over to strong delusions, and they're deceived. Listen, without the truth, we'll have deception. We'll be deceived. There are people today that prefer to hear a lie rather than the truth. They have turned their ears from what? The truth. And given themselves over to fables or to lies. I begin reading in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, when we start thinking about truth, and we're not talking about just being honest, we're talking about divine truth. This truth in verse 1 is having reference to the truth that is originated in God. God is true. His word is true. The church that Jesus established, according to 1 Timothy 3 and 15, is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. We're to be sustaining and supporting truth. Not truth that's comprised by men or by the contrivances of men, but we're talking about truth that was composed by God. By Creator God. God, our Creator, He is a God of truth. Now, there's a contrast to that. You have God who is true, and you have the devil who is a lie. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Satan is the father of lies. God is the father of truth. So when John was writing Gaius and saying this truth that makes us companions, this truth that makes us brothers, this truth that makes us fellow laborers, this truth that makes us children of God, I love you in God's truth. Listen, we need to have a greater appreciation for the love of others who hold fast in truth. We should have a love and appreciation for other truths. Other churches that hold to these truths that we hold to. Now, let's think about this. An appreciation for the truth. Whom I love in the truth. I was thinking about the calls. I was thinking about our preachers and ministers and our forefathers and different things going on at church and the presentation of truth, the preaching of truth, the teaching of truth. I appreciate the preachers and the teachers of truth. Don't you? We had a wonderful Sunday school lesson. Mackie did a great job. And we have a lot of wonderful Sunday school teachers. I enjoy hearing the truth taught, the truth of God's word. I appreciate that. I appreciate the truth that I heard growing up. Now, there were times, and there's still times, I guess you might say, because of the attempts to try to preserve the truth, there are times that it's not always well presented. There are times that evangelists and preachers don't articulate the truth well. But praise God, it's the unadulterated truth. And we appreciate the truth. Now, I've heard others who can articulate well and speak well and put thoughts together well, and they put thoughts together and they were deceptive thoughts. They convinced the congregations and the peoples to believe a lie. Does that happen? It does. I have a greater appreciation for truth not well articulated than a falsehood well articulated. Amen. Think about that. So he talks about an appreciation for others who love the truth, others who are in the truth. There was an appreciation and a love for Gaius because he was a supporter of the truth. Now, I also think, and we've been studying from the book of John, that there's not only an appreciation, but there's an unction that allows us to understand the truth. If you've not had an anointing, an unction to understand the truth, you're gullible. You could be deceived. John actually said there's some aspects of truth that cannot be taught. There's something that must be in you to help you discern and understand the truth. Spiritual things are discerned by the Holy Ghost. We understand the Word of God by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Let's notice those passages hurriedly, and I'm a little ahead of myself, but we're talking a little bit about the function of the truth. Turn back to 1 John chapter 1 just for a moment. Let's notice a few of these passages. We studied this on Wednesday night. Some of the unction that we have been given with respect to the truth, how that the truth abides in us. He talked about that unction that we have in verse 20 of the second chapter of 1 John. He talks about that we have an unction. Unction there actually means an anointing. We have an anointing upon us. We have an anointing from the Holy One, and it enables us to know truth versus error. It enables us to identify, to discern, in these passages, it's talking about being able to discern the Antichrist. We have an unction on us. We have an anointing on us that permits us and allows us to discern the Antichrist. Listen to me. If you don't have the unction on you, you may be gullible and deceivable by the devil, even by the Antichrist. People, we need a spiritual anointing on us to help us know the truth and do the truth. The function of it is not only to know it, you got to know it before you can obey it. There's obedience to the truth. There's compliance with the truth. But there's also a knowing, a knowledge that has to be obtained in truth. I'll tell you this, I know of churches that have had wonderful pastors who really thought the truth, who taught the truth well at those churches, and there was a generation that did not appreciate it, and now they don't have that kind of teaching in their churches any longer. People, I'm telling you, if you don't appreciate the truth, it may leave you. It'll leave you. You got to buy the gold tried in the fire. You got to buy the gold. In other words, you've got to embrace the truth, buy the truth, and sell it not, the Bible says. And that's what we have to do. We've got to hold on to the value of God's holy truth. Now, he goes a little further in here, and he talks about this anointing, this unction. He talks about verse 26. He said, I'm concerned that people might seduce you. Look in chapter 2 of 1 John. You could be deceived. If we don't have the right appreciation, then we are gullible for deception. Amen? I'm afraid that somebody will deceive you. John was writing to the church in the 100th century, and he was, first century, and he was telling them. He was telling them that they were prone to be deceived if they didn't have this anointing on them. People, we need spiritual discernment. We need it more so now than we ever have. There are so many falsehoods, philosophies, theologies, and deceptions that are out there that people are prone to embrace them and receive them. They're searching for answers, and they're embracing lies rather than the truth. The whole Islam movement is based on a lie. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. It's the fastest growing religion in the world. They're not just at a status quo. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's all based upon a lie. Somebody, a preacher, called me the other day, and he was telling me, he said, I don't know, I don't understand this. He said, we have a church member that was saved at our church and baptized by this pastor, and he's joined the Mormons. And I'm like, how does that happen? does that happen? How can somebody leave a Missionary Baptist Church and join a cult? I'll tell you how it happens. Churches no longer appreciate the truth. People, we have to be founded on God's holy word. Now I say that, and you may believe that in your mind, but it has to be a conviction deep down in your soul, or we'll lose the truth. We can't just have a head religion. It has to be at the heart of our religion. Love the truth. God's truth is what we want to obey. And so there's an appreciation. Anyway, he says, I'm afraid that somebody might seduce you. I got to move on. And he says in verse 27 of the second chapter of 1 John, he says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye have need not that any man teach you. Think about that. When it comes to the discernment of truth, we need to let the Holy Spirit do that in people's lives. Amen? Now, I've been here a long time, and there's something that ought to be obvious by now. I don't cram my convictions down your throat. Amen? I don't. This is the way I believe. I'll preach the truth that I've discovered out of the Word of God, and I depend on the Holy Ghost to let you know it's true. Yeah. When the Holy Ghost convicts you about something and reveals it to you that this is the truth, all the demons in hell cannot unconvince you. And that's the way it's supposed to work. He said, look, there's something in us that helps govern us and guide us. It's something that will teach us and help us discern what is right and what is wrong. John talked about that. He talked about the spirit of truth. He talked about the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. We need to know and be able to discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So he talks about that unction, that anointing that's on us, that keeps us from deception. And I believe it all starts with a real, genuine appreciation for the truth. All right, let's go back to John's letter just for a moment. I want to read a few more verses, because any place you have true appreciation, you're going to have some apprehension, some anxiety. I mean, trying to discern the truth, hold on to the truth. Do you feel like that we need to hold on to the truth? Are you concerned about the truth slipping away? Remember the Hebrew writer said, you know, hold on to these things lest they slip from you. They can slip from us. Just because the truth is here today doesn't mean it'll be here tomorrow. Somebody has to be a Gaius and hold on to the truth, support the truth, and help sustain the truth. You must be the pillar and the ground of the truth for the truth to be here. All right, so let's notice some of the apprehension that he had. Verse 2, he talks about the continuation of the truth by the prosperity of Gaius. Gaius was financially supporting these ministers and Christian families that were coming through his community. He was sustaining and supporting the advancement of the truth. And John said, I wish above all things that thou would prosper even as in health, even as thy soul prospers. He talked about rejoicing greatly when the brethren had testified to the truth that it was in him and that he was walking in it. Listen, we can't just sustain the truth at church. We have to live it. It has to be a way of life for us. It was with Gaius. It wasn't just something that he sustained by going to church and sitting on a pew. It wasn't truth that was sustained just by putting some money in the collection plate. It wasn't truth sustained by just attending Sunday school or maybe a prayer meeting. It was a way of life for him. He walked in the truth. Now, here's the problem. I don't know about you, but I have concern. You know, when we know the truth, and it was read in Sunday school this morning that the greater degree of light that we have, the more accountability we have. The Bible tells us that, like in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, where much is given, much is required. Amen? If we've been given these special privileges and greater degrees of light, then we have a greater accountability. When we know the truth, we have to walk in the truth. You know, these deceptions of the world concern me. Satan is constantly trying to get us to go contrary to the truth. I thought about Jeremiah the prophet. You know, God told Jeremiah, said, you prophesy to the people of Israel because they have a lot of philosophers, they have a lot of false prophets, they have a lot of teachers in their day that are lying to them. And like you read in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, he talks about how that these lies had hurt the daughters of his people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there was no peace. Now we have that today. That we have a lot of people that think that they can obtain some kind of peace in the world, but it's not there. We have people that have a misconception of Christianity, and they're teaching a double standard where you can have your cake and eat it too. Live the Christian life and also be worldly. People, that doesn't work. We have those in the world today. What I'm basically saying is, if you want to find a church where you can do anything you want to do, you can find one today. But if you want to be part of a church that loves the truth and is bent on obeying God's holy word, you're going to find a church that has a few bumps, bruises, difficulties, and hardships along the way. It's not going to be just a happy-go-lucky thing. Sometimes it's hard to do what's right, to obey the truth. Gaius was doing everything in his power to substantiate and to sustain the truth. He was walking in truth. He was living truth. I like that other verse in Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah 7 and 4, where the prophets were also not only saying peace, peace, where there wasn't any peace. They were telling people, this is the peace. They're also saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. They were saying, this is the way God wants you to live. This is what God wants for your life. And they were lying to him. That wasn't the way God wanted them to live at all. See, we need the right kind of discernment. We need that unction to prevent the deception, that we might appropriate the right aspects of truth in our daily walk of life. Now, I don't know if you feel a degree of apprehension about truth or not, but I know this much, that if you try to live the Christian life and do what's right, there's going to be times in your life where you get convicted that you haven't done exactly as you should have. Amen? Gaius was living and walking in truth. There was a great deal of rejoicing. Not only did he walk in the truth and testify of the truth, there was testimony that went all the way. I think John may have been in Jerusalem at this time when he wrote this third letter. It got all the way back to another church that this man was so supportive of the truth. His reputation preceded him concerning the advancing of truth. Let's read another verse or two. I'd mentioned something about the function of truth. And I'll tell you, we have some truth trouble. We got a lot of truth trouble going on. We have trouble appropriating the truth. We have an appropriation problem, applying it to our lives. Don't we? Come on now. Gaius didn't have that problem. He was walking in the truth. Notice verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There was an application. There was an appropriation of this truth. See, the truth, the gospel truth, it always honors God. It always glorifies Christ, and it always humbles man. So there's a twofold function that I want to mention. First of all, there is the obedience. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. Notice what he says there. If a person says, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, he is a liar, and what? The truth is not in him. So obedience is one aspect or one function of the truth. We can't just say it, we have to live it. Obedience to the truth. That's one way that it functions and we have it appropriated to our lives. But what about the person that has a low regard for truth? Can you really, with conviction and commitment, live a life of truth and at the same time have a low regard for it? Can you? No, absolutely not. We live in a day where there's little regard for the truth. Do you appreciate the religion that you were raised up in? Do you appreciate the preachers that have gone before you and have preached and preserved the truth, the generation that was striving to hold on to the truth? Oh, they made some mistakes, didn't they? Sure they did. But they were striving to hold on and maintain the truth, to present it to the next generation, to present it to us. Now, we've got to present it better to the next generation than what we received it. I was thinking about what Pilate said, how that he had a low regard for the truth in the 18th chapter of John. Remember when Pilate was questioning Jesus, are you a king? Where's your kingdom? You know, Jesus basically told him, my kingdom is a kingdom of truth. I am here, he told Pilate, I am here to bear witness of truth. And you remember what Pilate said, I think it's like verse 38 of the 18th chapter of St. John. Pilate said, what is truth? Who cares about the truth? Whoop-de-doo. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that have a whoop-de-doo kind of lifestyle with respect to the truth. You don't care. People just don't care about the truth. The truth of God's holy word. The truth of the gospel. The doctrines that we hold to. People, we're fortunate to have this doctrinal truth. To be sound in doctrine. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote the young minister Timothy, and he said, you better preach the word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because the time will come when they will not heed sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. Watch. Watch. I'm telling you, it's happening today. We're living in that day where the word of God is not being preached and people have embraced strong delusions and have believed a lie. They believed a lie. Obedience to that truth. See, I think another thing that I think is important, not only is there, when there's a low degree of appreciation, do we lose the truth, but when there's a low degree of application, if you're not willing to live the truth, you'll lose the truth. The church that's not committed to doing the truth loses the truth. Now, historically, I can prove that. Every church that lost their candlestick, listen to me, every church that lost their candlestick refused to obey Christ Jesus in what he said. They developed their own truth. Or they thought maybe this was not as important a truth. Listen, all truth is important. Every bit of the Word of God is important. We need to uphold it all and not let any of it slip. So that's one aspect. Obedience. Compliance. Think about that. You receive a truth from God's Word. And you say, man, that's hard. I don't want to do that. That's too hard. I don't want to give that up. That's too hard of sacrifice. That'll cost me too much. I don't want to do that. If you ever reject God's truth, that truth and more truth will leave you. Think about that. I'm telling you, that is exactly what happened to these churches who are sitting there with glazed faces looking at the preacher, and the preacher's just lying to them right and left, and they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. Truth has escaped them, and it's gone. 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 There are some positive things with regard to the truth. Truth will protect us. It will provide for us a security. In Psalms 91 and 4, it talks about how truth is a shield and a buckler, how that it protects us. Truth sets us free. Jesus said the truth. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But he says, if the truth sets you free, what are you? You're really free. It's not a bondage. Listen, the truth of God's word is not a bondage. It's a freedom. A freedom. A liberation. If you're here this morning and you have been deceived, if you don't have that unction, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, if you've not embraced the first truth, the real truth, that you're lost and in your sins, if you've not faced the reality that you need Jesus, then you've already deceived yourself. You've already believed a lie. And the father of lies is deceiving you. If you have never acknowledged that you need to be saved, if you've not sought the Lord, see, every seeker in our churches, they're seekers of truth. You know, you can have some degree of truth in your mind and not have it in your heart. Right? I mean, when I sought the Lord, and I sought the Lord for several years. I mean, when I was a seeker and I sought the Lord for salvation, it was I knew in my head that I needed to be saved, but I never realized that truth in my heart until I got saved. I mean, there was a revelation, a manifestation of truth that came into my heart and my life the night I repented. Listen, my friend, if you've never repented of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. May God's truth. See, Jesus said he would sanctify his church through truth. He would set you apart by the truth. The truth that you need to be saved. The truth that you're lost and undone. The truth that you need your sins canceled and covered by the blood of Jesus. The truth that Jesus died for you and resurrected on the third day. The truth that he ascended to glory. The truth is that he is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And he's listening with his hands outstretched, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come experience that truth as we stand and sing. Is there someone here today that has never experienced saving truth? If you'll come, the Lord will save you by his wonderful divine grace. Is there someone here today, lost and undone, never been to the foot of the cross? Listen, we're not only seekers, but we're believers of the truth. We want to know the truth. We want more truth revealed to us. We don't have all of it yet. We need God's help in understanding his truth for our lives. If you're here today and you want to come to truth, with who you are and what you need, come to Jesus. He is the way. Amen? He is the way of truth. As we sing. appreciate you listening to me today. I'm thankful for those who have supported the truth. I appreciate your support. I've had a lot of people through the years that have helped sustain my ministry and the work that I've tried to do through the years, and I appreciate them. I remember one year I was preaching, going through Kentucky, and my air conditioner went on my car, and there was a businessman. He said, come in here and I'll fix that for you, you know, and just, you know, because he loved the truth. He wasn't a preacher, you know, he wasn't a Sunday school teacher, just a layman, and he saw me that I was trying to preach the truth. And I mean, we need more Gaiuses who are looking for people who are advancing the truth, and you get underneath them and you support them. I like this. This sustains the truth. I'm behind you. And whether you have financial means like Gaius did or not, Gaius was helping them open-handedly. Paul said in those next few verses that, I mean, he was not only sustaining them when they were in town, but he was supporting them on their journey. And it didn't matter. I mean, whether they were Jew or Gentile preachers, it didn't matter. He was sustaining them and helping them. And we need more people that have that kind of appreciation and discernment for the truth. And I pray that this church will become a church that develops that mentality. When you see a cause and it's worthy of your support, you may not always be able to support it financially, but encourage the person. Give words of encouragement. Amen. Tell them, I'm praying for you. Get on your knees somewhere. And take up the hedge, fill in the gap. Say, look, I'm on my knees praying for you. The truth will go to other countries and around the world. Be a Gaius, a lover of God's precious truth. Yeah. I'm glad I've met a few of those in my life. Aren't you? That were just behind the truth. And
truth is not an abstract idea.